Good morning, folks. You can be turning to James chapter 2. We'll continue our Sunday morning series in the book of James, and so we're in James 2 this morning. We've been pointing out the fact that what the Bible is teaching us, that we're to have consistency in the Christian life. And so James has given us a series of tests to prove our consistency. One was the trials that he talked about. The other was temptation. Last week we talked about dead faith, living faith. And so today we're going to talk about partiality. Well, I want to begin with verse 1 of James chapter 2. My brethren, do not hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. For if there should come into your assembly a man with gold rings and fine apparel, and there should also come in a poor man in filthy clothes, and you pay attention to the one wearing the fine clothes and say to him, you sit here in a good place, and say to the poor man, you stand there or sit here at my footstool. Have you not showed partiality among yourself and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brother, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and be heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into courts? Do they not blaspheme the noble name by which you are called? If you really fulfill the sovereign law, according to the scriptures, you shall love your neighbors yourself. You do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convinced by the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point is guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. On August 28, 1963, I was 9 years old. Back then, we had a black and white TV like most people. And the big thing back then of the evening was to watch the news. My grandparents liked to watch Huntley and Brinkley, so that's who we watched. But on May 28, 1963, Martin Luther King Jr. stood on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C., and he delivered a speech that lasted for 17 minutes. We know that speech as I Have a Dream. November 22, 1963, I was in the fourth grade at Walnut Street School in Lenore City. And on that day, word came that JFK was killed by an assassin in Dallas, Texas. I can remember that day very vividly from my elementary days because what they did was to roll in a black and white TV on a cart. And they let us students in the classroom that day. We watched the events of that day. And I can remember this, that, before the school day was over, that they dismissed class and we got to go home early that day. On April 4th, 1968, in Memphis, Tennessee, Martin Luther King was standing on the balcony at the Lorraine Hotel. And at age 39, he was shot dead by an assassin in Memphis, Tennessee. James Earl Ware was convicted of that crime and spent time in Brushy Mountain for that crime. Later that year, on June the 6th, 1968, Robert F. Kennedy was shot and killed at the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles, California. Those are memories that I have in my mind of growing up in the 60s. The point that I'm trying to make by all that is this: discrimination, partiality, judgment on appearance, all that has been around for a long, long time. Really, it goes back to the beginning of the Bible and the book of Genesis, so it's something that we have had around for a long, long time. What James talks about here is partiality between the rich and the poor. He talks about a rich man, he talks about a poor man. Now, here's what you need to understand. It is not a sin to be wealthy, not a sin to be rich. Many people in the Bible were very wealthy. Abraham was a wealthy man. Job was a wealthy man. Joseph of Arimathea was a wealthy man. And also, it doesn't mean that a person is more spiritual than anyone else just because they are poor. It doesn't mean that. So that's not what James is getting at here in his text. But what he's saying here is that real faith evaluates every person not based on outward appearance, but based on what is on the heart of a man. The importance here that brings us to level ground, and that's the title of my message today, Level Ground. The importance of level ground and what brings us all to level ground is the value of the soul of each and every person. Every soul is of value to God. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, He died for every soul. How important is a soul? A soul is very important. So when God looks at people, He looks not only the outward appearance, but as the Bible says, He looks on the heart, because that is the value of each and every one of us, and that is the soul of every person. So that is one of the key takeaways that I want to share with you. Rick Warren said this. He said many times, he said there are five areas where we are tempted to show discrimination, he said, on the basis of these five different things. One is appearance, and that's what's going on here in the book of James. The judgment was based on, you know, this poor man and rich man, what they were wearing and all that. One is ancestry. Another is age, discrimination based on age. Another basis of discrimination can be achievement. He said another category of discrimination can be affluence. But one test of true faith and true and living faith is that we value each soul the same. It's not based on appearance. It's not based on ancestry. It's not based on age. It's not based on achievement. It's not based on affluence. We don't judge people that way. Now, the first point I want to talk about is this. Real faith looks at all people equally. That's why we say that the ground is level at the foot of the cross. There is a great equalizer in the Bible. And the great equalizer in the Bible is this. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is for whosoever will. The gospel is for rich. The gospel is for poor. The gospel is for the educated. The gospel is for the uneducated. The gospel is for every person. And so that's why we say that real faith, what James is saying here, that real faith looks at people in a very equal way. And so there's equality in looking at people that way. You know, there's discrimination today based on a person's conservative views. There really is. Kurt, you'll need to turn that organ mic off. That's where that feedback's coming from. There are places today, there are schools today where you cannot read the Bible. There are public schools today where the Gideons cannot go in school any longer to pass out Bibles. That is discrimination. There are places today on a county court lawn or a county building where the Ten Commandments cannot be posted. There is such a thing today as race discrimination that's still with us based on the color of a person's skin. We still have discrimination when it comes to age. The age of a person can be discriminated against. And so what we learn from the Bible, though, is that is a sin. James says it as clear as anyone could say it here, that it is a sin to show any partiality, that it is a sin to discriminate, that it is a sin to value one person over another person based on appearance. When God looks at people, He looks at people equally. When He died on the cross, He died for whosoever will. So that is the teaching of the Bible. Now we also know that the way that we show this partiality, at times can be that, you know, we judge a person based on their past and not their future. Our past is under the blood of Christ. Our future has a hope in it. Our future is a new beginning. Our future is a new creation in Christ. But many times the temptation is to make a judgment based on the past. But that's not how God does it. And so when it comes to this, James is really getting to the issue of what real faith is all about. Do you understand what the Bible says about Jesus when it comes to discrimination? The Bible says that Jesus was despised. Jesus was rejected. When you read the Bible, you find, particularly in the New Testament, you find that there was this barrier between the Jews and Gentiles. There was a barrier of discrimination between the Jews and Samaritans. And so you have this in the Bible. But here's what Jesus did. He went to Nicodemus the same as He went to the woman at the well at Samaria. When Jesus came, He came to minister to the rich. He came to minister to the poor. The Bible tells us that the common people came to the synagogue. The common people came to the temple. The common people came to places where Jesus were. And they heard Him gladly. And so we find here from the Bible that God's love for people is equal. That His love for us is equal to every person. So what God's grace means is this. God's grace means that He has a plan for every person. And God's plan for every person on this earth is that they come to know Him and believe in Him and put faith and trust in Him. And that they live out their purpose and live out that plan. That is God's plan. Second point that I want to make from this passage today is this. Real faith loves people supremely. Someone has said it this way, and I really like this quote, and I've written it down. I want to give it to you. We only believe as much of the Bible as we practice. There's one answer to prejudice. There's one answer to discrimination. There is one answer to showing preference. And you know what that answer is? It is love. And I want you to see the way that James puts it here. In James 2, verse 8, he talks about the sovereign law. He talks about the royal law. This is a command of God. This is not a suggestion. This is something that we are to do according to the Scriptures. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so the Bible makes it very clear that that's what we are to do. There's a Scripture in Romans that I want to call to your attention. Romans chapter 13 and verse 8. Listen to this. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments are, that you've heard, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there's any other commandment, are all summed up, thus namely saying this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to your neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So listen to Matthew, in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these the two commandments hang, and all the law and of the prophets. So it's very, very important that we understand that. Jesus, though, gave us a new commandment. And listen to the new commandment from the Gospel of John. It's found in John 13:34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. So what is the new commandment? The new commandment is that we're to love people as God loves people. When God looks at people, He sees them through the eyes of His Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross of Calvary. When we look at people, we should look at people the way God looks at people. That is a soul that I died for. That is a soul that I love. That is a soul that I want to see saved and come to me. That's how we are to look at people. When we're tempted to make a judgment, and I know particularly in my life, at this point in my life, you know, if I'm tempted to make a judgment on appearance, what I usually think about is this. And this is how I think about it. You may not use this logic, but this is how I kind of reason with it. Before I make that judgment, I think, you know, I've not walked in that person's shoes. I don't know what that person's going through. I don't know what they're facing in life. When it comes to children, here's what I think about. What if that was my son? Or what if that was my daughter that's going through those situations? What kind of judgment would I make then? And so the Bible teaches us that we are to love all people. Now the warning that He gives here is this. The reason that we should love our neighbors ourselves. The reason that we should love people with the same love that God has, which is a sacrificial love, which is a giving love, which is helping people who are needy, who's reaching out to people, so forth. The reason we should love people that way is because of this. One day we will be judged. And He says this. He says our words will be judged. Our deeds will be judged. Our attitudes will be judged. And so He talks about this judgment that is to come. So, you know, really what He's saying is this, that our belief should determine our behavior. In the life of a child of God, in the life of a true believer, there should be no judgment of partiality. There should be no discrimination. There should be no loving one person over another. There should not be a judgment based on appearance of a person's social standing or wealth or achievement or anything like that. That has no place in the life of a child of God. James says in 2:9, the reason, James 2:9, he says this, it is a sin to make a judgment based only on appearance. Then another way that I would emphasize this passage, not only is it sin, but discrimination or partiality or anything like that is significant. Because in James 2:10 he says this, for whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in any one point of it, he is guilty of all. Now what they're saying is this, you know, well, I've not committed murder. I've not committed adultery. I've not coveted. I've not, you know, committed these big sins, but what James is saying is this. If you have shown partiality, if you have discriminated, then you are guilty of it all. In other words, it is a sin. So that's the significance of it. We may think it's not a big thing to show partiality. We may think it's not a big deal to show prejudice, but he says it is significant and we need to see that. Then he says this. He says it is a very serious thing. And that's where you see it in verses 12 through 13. It is very, very serious. For in verse 13 he says, "For the judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment." So is it significant? It is very significant. Is it serious? It is very serious. So in looking at these tests in the book of James, as I said, we talked about the test of trials. We talked about the test of temptation. We talked about the test of true faith and dead faith. And so this morning, what we've come to in the book of James is this test of showing partiality, this test of discrimination, this test of making judgment only based on the outward appearance of a person. We need to look at the soul of a person. And when we look at the soul of a person, here's what we see. We don't see race. We don't see poverty. We don't see, you know, all the other stuff that we make our judgments on, but we see a person that is loved by God, a person that Jesus Christ died on the cross for, and that we should love and to show value to each and every one. Now, let me bring this to a conclusion. In Revelation, there's an invitation given. This invitation is found in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17. And here's what it says. "And the Spirit and the Bride say, 'Come.' Let him who hears say, 'Come.' Let him who thirsts say, 'Come.' And whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." That invitation is for whosoever will. That invitation is for America. That invitation is for the nations. That invitation is for the souls for whom Christ died on the cross. Whosoever will can come. That's why we say that the ground is level at the foot of the cross. There's no discrimination there. When it comes to salvation, God does not discriminate. On the other hand, when it comes to judgment, God does not discriminate. I understand what he's saying here in this passage. But the invitation is for whosoever will may come. There are two principles in the Bible that I'll leave you with. One principle is this. It is the principle of creation. In our democracy, we say that this is what we believe. But it's also a principle found in the Bible. The principle of creation is this, that all men are created equal. That we are equal in God's eyes. And that's what we believe. But also there's the principle of crucifixion. And the principle of crucifixion from the Scripture is this, that when Jesus Christ came to this world and he died on the cross, that he died for whosoever will. He died for every race. He died for every person. He died for the poor. He died for the rich. He died for the educated. He died for the uneducated. He died on the cross for every person. That is the principle of crucifixion. And what we need to practice is what he says here. And that is to love people as God loves people. I want you to know that the Lord loves you today. He died on the cross for you. If you need to come to that place of placing belief in Him and to ask Him to forgive you and come into your life, regardless of where you are in life today, regardless of where your status is, rich, poor, whatever, come to Him. Because the invitation is for whosoever will. As believers today, the challenge from the Word of God is this: we need to be consistent. We need to show God's love to each and every person. It is a sin to discriminate. It's a sin to show partiality. It is a sin to show favoritism. And that's just plain and simple. So we need to show God's love in the way that He showed His love for us. He loved me just where I was. And He loves you just where you are. But He loves us so much that He doesn't want us to stay there. Let's stand for our time of invitation. Father, we thank You today for Your Word. We thank You for the Scripture here that is so clear and plain to us this morning. And Father, today we do thank You that the ground is level at the foot of the cross. The invitation for salvation today is for whosoever will. This invitation today to come to Christ is for any person in this building who has never placed personal faith in Jesus Christ. Father, it could be that they've come to that place in the life where they know that they need to be saved. They know that they need to trust You and put faith in You. To believe in You, to believe that You are who You said You were, to believe that You did what You did, to believe that You died on the cross for our sins. Father, I pray for those who need to make that commitment today that they would come. And then, Lord, as believers today, as those who follow You, as Christ follows today, I pray that we would practice this sovereign commandment that You've given. And that is that we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. We're to show people the same love that You showed us. Father, when we look at people, we're to see the value of a soul. A soul that Jesus Christ died for on the cross. Father, when You make a judgment, Your judgment's not based on outward appearance, but You look on the heart of each and every individual. Lord, today, help us to follow this great command. To love our neighbors, we love ourselves. In Your name we pray. Amen.